Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today in Foxborough, 24 hours after signing football's Dennis Rodman. Bill Belichick marched his team on the field and let the world know the Patriots don't need Antonio Brown. In the nightcap to the NFL's opening Sunday, the Patriots demolished the team that originally dismissed and apparently still desperately needs Brown, the Pittsburgh Steelers. In New England's first game since Hall of Fame tight end Rob Gronkowski retired, and with Brown quite possibly watching a game with Giselle at the Brady compound, Tom Brady sliced the Steelers secondary like lemons and limes at your favorite happy hour. 33-3. Brady threw for 341 yards and three touchdowns. It was too easy. It looked historic, you know, kind of like the way the Chicago Bulls looked when Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, and Scottie Pippen added Dennis Rodman in 1995. The Bulls won a then NBA record 72 games in the regular season and breezed to another championship. You know why Rodman worked with the Bulls? Because Phil and Michael could tell Rodman with a straight face, "We don't need you." Same thing Bill and Tom are going to tell AB. The Patriots did not play a 2018 playoff team until week 9.
Hello.
New England's going 8-0. You can book that. The Dolphins, Jets, Bills, Redskins, Jets, and Browns are not beating the team we saw last night. The Patriots may have a bye until November when they travel to Baltimore on the 3rd. That starts a stretch that includes the Eagles, Cowboys, Texans, and the Chiefs. Maybe New England will need Brown in November. Maybe. But that gives Belichick and Brady 2 months to evaluate Brown to see if he fits the culture, to see if he can make the same transition as Randy Moss. According to reports, Brady wants to do his evaluation up close. He's invited Brown to stay at his $40 million Massachusetts compound for an in-home evaluation. AB should be leery of such an invitation. Brady's a lot like Michael Corleone from The Godfather. Remember, Michael had Fredo living on the Corleone compound in Tahoe. Brady wants to keep AB close just in case Bill decides to dust AB. Can't you just see AB and Julian Edelman discussing route combinations on the practice field and Brady shouting, "Julian, Julian!" AB shouts, "He's here, we're talking 2-minute offense." Brady's like, "No, Coach Belichick wants to see him now." You can see Bill looking on from a distance with his binoculars as the receivers coach takes AB out on a boat, never to be seen again. The Patriots cannot lose on this AB deal. Brown has no leverage. John Gruden and the Raiders needed AB, and AB knew it. Mike Tomlin and the Steelers needed AB, and AB knew it. It will be interesting to see how AB reacts to being unneeded. I wouldn't assume it's going to make him fall in line the way Randy Moss did. Brown's addiction to social media is the real wild card in all of this. Brown feels like he's conquered the football world. His focus is on conquering the Kim Kardashian Instagram world. Randy Moss wasn't fighting those demons. Moss didn't see himself in competition with NBA players for social media relevance. I don't see the Patriots losing here, but that doesn't mean I see AB winning. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analysts Mark Slareth and Bucky Brooks. Marcellus, yes. Rough weekend for me.
You think?
I was all in on the Steelers. I'm lighting the pockets, lighting Casa Dragona. Any chance this AB move backfires on the Patriots?
No chance at all. No chance at all. I want to also say to you, you know what's funny? Now they're going to go 8-0, huh? What about last night when you said they were going to go 0-1?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Now I flip.
Yeah, you flipped, huh? Unreal how you look at the game. This can't go wrong by construction, and it can't go wrong by locker room culture. It just can't. One, AB wants to buy into something that is worth buying into. I think that's
he does?
Yeah, that part. A Hall of Fame career so far in trajectory with a story franchise in the Steelers shows me that the guy can buy in. And when you go into other situations that you don't see the same level of functionality, then you see this dysfunction everywhere, and then you start to realize maybe this is not the best place for a Hall of Fame wide receiver to go and get lost. Randy Moss told us the same thing as well. So I don't see how you could say this situation could go wrong. And then you look at the team. God, look at the receiving core. Lord have mercy. You ever seen dime package when they get all the, you know, the backup DBs run out there too? you got AB. No, you got Edelman. No, you got Antonio. No, you got Demaryius Thomas. Oh, no, we got these rookies coming too. They got two. They are so loaded.
Josh Gordon.
Who in the hell is going to cover these guys when they go 4-5 wide? No one in the NFL. So I don't see how it goes wrong.
Here's what I think is beneficial. Bill Belichick does not suffer fools. He just won't. That's the culture that's been established. And you know who's helped him establish that? Tom Brady.
Yep.
Tom Brady has allowed him, Bill Belichick, to coach him hard in front of the entire team. And here's the deal. Antonio Brown, I'm 100% with you. We can win with you. Guess what? We can win without you. We don't need you. You need us. You want to put hardware on your finger? This is the place to do it. If that's not what you're about, we'll bench your butt. We'll cut you. I mean, they've proven that time and time again. That's why they're in the perfect place to execute this with Antonio Brown. Doesn't mean that Antonio Brown is not, you know, going to act up a time or two. But when he does, guess what? We don't need you. Think about this. This has been an offense that's been tight end centric when it comes to explosive plays. Rob Gronkowski, the only explosive plays made in the Super Bowl were made by 87. That's it. Last night, tight ends were targeted twice, one catch for 3 yards. We don't care. It's not about the players we have on the field. It's about the players you don't have on the field. We're not going to necessarily just lean on our strengths. We're going to attack your weaknesses. And that means 1 week, we're going to rush it for 220 yards, and you're going to get 2 targets. And if you can't handle that, if you're not more about the victories than you are about the statistics, we're not going to have you here. Hmm. And they're going to have to – he has to understand what that culture is. And I don't know – I don't know. I mean, nobody knows if he's able. That's where I'm at.
No, it'll be interesting to watch this play out. But this is, man, this is a win-win for the New England Patriots. Not only did they take a player from their rival, because let's be honest, they really poached him from the Pittsburgh Steelers by way of the Oakland Raiders. Mm. So they've weakened – maybe one of their top competitors. They've added a guy who is a difference maker, something that they didn't have, someone who could fit in that system if he buys in and if he's adaptable. But, man, you see Josh Gordon last night. You see Philip Dorsett show up. You got Demaryius Thomas in the bullpen. You got N'Keal Harry, who is on IR. They're going to bring him back at some point. Ooh. They have everything that they could possibly want. The one issue that I have with AB is he able to adapt to the way that the Patriots do things, not only culturally, but on the field? Because there are a lot of post-snap reads, things on the fly. And to me, AB is an A-and-one mixtape player. He is a guy that just kind of played around. He and Ben Roethlisberger would see each other, make eye contact, and throw the ball down the field. If he does that with Tom Brady, he may have 2 times to do that. The first time Tom Brady's going to look at him, the next time Tom Brady's going to get him off the field. So can AB be a disciplined player?
Well,
that's the challenge.
And that's the perfect transition. You think AB's going to – is it going to work for AB here? Will he finish the year a Patriot?
I think we're doing him a disservice to really take a shot at his intelligence, and we'll talk about that later in terms of how this all came to be, but also his acumen on the field. Remember when you're a six-rounder? You know humble beginnings. You know how it is to not have and not to be heard. And you fit in because that's the only way you're going to make it. So it's in his DNA in the NFL to fit in and make it. Let's not dismiss that because via you said the Oakland Raiders. How about via the Buffalo Bills? Don't forget that one day he was a Buffalo Bill. Mm. And he looked at that quarterback. Respect Josh Allen because I actually like you. Ah. Then he went to, they said Oakland. He said, great brand. Historically great brand, and a former MVP candidate, okay. Since I know y'all want to send me damn near out the country to Buffalo, this sounds like a better landing spot. got into a few practice sessions, got into a few situations, realized, this is going to hurt my numbers. So let me go on now and get into
That's
something.
That's speculation, but go ahead.
That is my way of reading it. That's why I got Costa Dragonis coming, brother. I know how to speculate. All that said, this guy isn't going to hurt this locker room. Remember 2011 when they had Haynesworth? And they had Ocho Cinco. Mm-hmm. Now, neither one of them worked out, but the team worked out 13-3.
No, and we've all agreed on that.
Okay.
The Patriots are bulletproof.
Bulletproof.
Well, A.B., I'm not
ride
sure
it through?
He's... Yeah, will he ride it through?
I think he will. I think he will. He's been through this before. He had to buy in before to become A.B.
Again, you know how much money was in his pocket when he left Central Michigan?
$37.18.
Yeah. So he had to buy in.
Yeah.
Now he's got millions in his pocket. And I just don't know if he's going to be able to buy in because I think his addiction to social media attention is that strong.
All I got to say to that is, that means you got more to lose when you got a lot of money. Stop flipping that narrative on people. When you got more, you just don't care. I care more. I know how far it is to fall to the ground.
Rationally.
Yeah. Listen, I think he, this is really hard for me because I'm kind of split on it. I think he finishes. But I think there's a couple of learning curves along the way where he may be a healthy scratch. I mean, you have to understand what they do in New England. This is the most disciplined team in all of football. Their whole system is we don't have a system. And it's incredible to watch them. Watching them play defense last night was a thing of beauty. Because when you look at them on paper, you don't have the name value. Right? I mean, come on. Jamie Collins was one of the best inside linebackers in football. He got in trouble within the organization for whatever, you know, whatever they didn't like. He went to bed at 7-0, and he woke up at 0-7. He was all of a sudden a Cleveland Brown, right? And then he went on the witness relocation program. He was there for a few years. He didn't do anything. They bring him back, and he was balling last night. They get their guys to sacrifice numbers to execute what they're asking them to execute. And I'm telling you what, it is like a symphony, how that defense, all 11, work together. It is beautiful. And they'll sacrifice those numbers. So I think he finishes the season, but I think there's a couple of learning curves along the way where all of a sudden they're like, hey, A.B., this week you're a spectator. Until you understand what we're trying to do, I think that's going to happen.
I'm worried about the stuff that happens away from the field in terms of can it be the meetings on time? Because they sent Darrell Revis home one day. He was late because it was snowing. Oh, I didn't know. Sent him home. A.B. is notoriously late. He's always late to meetings. Yeah. How is he going to handle the discipline and the expectations that's set down by the Patriots? Because they expect you to be there. They expect you to be there on time and to be a professional. He has to do that. Secondly, how is he going to handle some days the ball is not going to head in his direction? And we have seen the tantrums on the sideline when he was in Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger, with the offensive coordinator. When the ball doesn't go in his direction, he has a tendency to bark out. How is he going to handle Tom Brady being like, hey, man, will I throw to the open guy? Those are things that I'm curious to see. I'm not saying that he can't.
I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to surprise you with this opinion. I don't know if A.B. cares about numbers anymore. A.B. cares about money and health. How can I get money without jeopardizing my health? I think it's going to start this week. There's no reason for him to play Miami. So there's going to be two games guaranteed that he misses, in my view. Uh-oh. Why play him against Miami? We see what trash Miami is, and I know they're jinxed against Miami, but already he's down to a 14-game schedule. His numbers are going to decline. I don't know if he's going to be numbers obsessed. Where he is going to have a problem, I think, is social media. He's already IG'd, here I am at Gillette Stadium, blah, blah, blah. And eventually there's going to be more and more of that. He's, you know, the same Facebook Live and with the Steelers. There's going to be some of that. And then just at the end of the day, if you just go check his off-the-field resume that has nothing to do with football, he's going to have drama that gets him in the headline in the news. And I just don't know if Robert Kraft and Belichick are going to put up with his off-the-field
drama. Here's the deal, though, on that, okay? That didn't happen, to your point. When he was a sixth-rounder fighting to make a team, that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. He was on time. He showed up.
Right.
He worked his butt off.
Yep.
There's nobody that will tell you he's not the hardest-working guy on the football field, right? That's who he is. So he was enabled to act like a clown. And you know what? Send in the clowns. Because he was given that opportunity.
Yep.
You act like a clown in New England, and you're looking for work the next day. So and he understands where he's at.
But we're echoing the same dry, stale narrative that we heard about Randy Moss when he left Oakland. I remember watching TV at the time. It ain't gonna work. He quit on the damn organization. He's mooning people. He doesn't care. And then Randy Moss went out there and put up and just shut up and just balled out. And here's the difference, Whitlock. Players can't get this. This can't be said about players in this respect. When you're supposed to be the alpha in the game plan, you are mad when you don't get your touches and your opportunities. Because I sat there for a whole week and heard it's all about me. So, yeah, I excuse you when you have a fit over those weeks. But when you sit through a whole week in New England and you realize, ooh, it's going to be slim pickings out here, you're not even upset. You're not disappointed because you were never appointed to being that guy. And I think AB buys in.
I think, to your point, expectations mean a lot. It's kind of like your kids. All kids crave discipline and structure. AB craves discipline and structure. He knows going in, I know what this is. I know how I got to conform. And so maybe there is something to that.
Yeah. AB's going to act up off the field. There will be that drama. He won't be on time because he's not a timely person. He's not a professional person. I don't think he makes it through the season.
Week one is in the books, but DraftKings isn't finished celebrating with some huge fantasy football contests. For week two of the football season, DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, is giving new users a free shot at over $1.5 million in prizes with your first deposit when you put in the code SPEAK during sign-up. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Plus, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's some extra cash to play with this football season. Download the DraftKings app now and use the code SPEAK. For a limited time, both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. New users, don't forget to enter the code SPEAK, that's S-P-E-A-K, to get a free shot at over $1.5 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's code SPEAK, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonuses requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
All right, time now for a big story. Let's move to the Steelers, who not only embarrassed me last night, they also embarrassed themselves, looking completely lost on both sides of the ball in a blowout loss to the Patriots. And without the distractions of Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, Big Ben had nobody to blame for the loss but himself.
I wasn't good enough. Wasn't giving guys balls when they needed to catch them, put them in front, behind, things like that. So I just, I wasn't good enough.
Are you worried about this was the first game for your offense without Antonio Brown? Are you worried about how the offense is looking without him?
I'm not specifically worried about anything relative to Antonio Brown. I'm worried about the guys in that locker room and the quality of our execution and what we did or didn't do. Antonio's been off our team for a number of months. We moved on from that stuff in March.
Big Ben is being somewhat truthful. It is on him. But we all watched that game. Number 11, Moncrief. I don't know if that's Sidney Moncrief's son.
Drop City. Drop City.
Yeah, he needs to be playing basketball or something.
Drop City.
Because he dropped about 30 last night. Still confident in the Steelers after blow-off loss? Hell no. No. I had them as a Super Bowl pick. That was embarrassing last night. Big Ben looked like, who is it? Linus on the that has carries a little towel.
Security
blanket. Without AB, Ben looked like a clown last night.
Looked more like Pigpen, all dusty out there. Damn, what is this? Like, they looked horrible. And I don't like this question. Still, America. I never believed in the Steelers like this guy did. I never believed that they were going to go out there. And because they got rid of one of the symptoms that they fixed the illness. I've been saying that this entire offseason. Addition by subtraction. In production, that doesn't work. Who replaced AB? And they said it's Juju Smith-Schuster. And I take no shots at Juju. I love the guy. He's a local guy, all this respect, but I'm here to do my job. And I was there in Buffalo when Peerless Price was behind a true number one in Eric Modes. If y'all don't remember, Google this dude was official. and Peerless took the money and became a number two. Another one of my friends. Now, I remember having conversations. Peerless, all money ain't good money, man. Being a number two to number one is a leap beyond. And we saw it last night. You can't replace that type of production with what we saw. So you said the Steelers were going to win the Super Bowl last week. How's that looking right now, Mel?
Not good.
Not good at all. Because mentally, they walked into this year thinking they were better because they got rid of a distraction, but never thought about the addition needed to make up for all that production loss.
Yeah, listen, I still think they're going to be a good team. I think there's a lot of issues. Yeah, I mean, do I think they're going to win the Super Bowl? No. Do I think they're going to be a playoff contender? Absolutely. I think they have enough talent on that offense to get that done, and I think they have enough talent on that defense. You've got to understand a couple of things. They walk into New England, that's been a house of horrors for them. Yeah. They walk in there understanding they're getting whooped. Right? You ever been in a game when you walk in a game and you know, like you don't act like you know, you got false bravado and your chest is out, but you know you're getting whooped. Well, I walked into a game in San Francisco against the 49ers. They were retiring Joe Montana's jersey. Jerry Rice was coming back from an ACL. Every celebrity in Northern California was there. Huey Lewis in the News was singing the national anthem. Mm. You could cut the tension with a knife, the atmosphere like that. And I looked over at a buddy of mine, and I go, we're going to get our ass kicked tonight. And you know what? We got our ass kicked. I mean, it was just one of those, you walk into a buzzsaw. The Steelers, no. Listen, we don't match up well. What they do, we don't defend well. What they do defensively, we don't run well against it. We're getting beat tonight. I would tamper my disappointment a little bit if I were you.
I think the thing about the Steelers, a couple of things. It's a bad matchup with New England all around. It's been like that for years. They just don't match up well with them. So we can't necessarily take everything out of that game. But what we can take, all year, last year we heard, Juju just as good as AB. Oh, James Conner, just like Le'Veon Bell. We've said there is a difference, and it's a difference that only the eyeballs can make. It ain't the numbers. It's not the fantasy production. There's a difference between real dudes and those other guys. Le'Veon Bell, AB are real dudes. And, look, I even came up and said, maybe addition by subtraction, the chemistry. But at the end of the day, talent matters. And we saw that they are a less talented team than they were when they had 26 and 84.
The only thing I'm going to push back on is I think we're being too hard on Juju Smith-Schuster. Oh. James Conner, to me, looked like he put on 15 pounds, lost half of his 40 speed. He looked overmatched at the running back position. I'm just sorry. Ben Roethlisberger, to me, and I followed his entire career from college on, the man, and again, I don't blame him, number 11, Moncrief was dropping balls, everything was unreliable, but he looked like a guy for four quarters, like looking for Antonio Brown. Right. And Antonio Brown was at Giselle's house.
Right, you have to understand how the NFL operates. So in my estimation, I call it the 70-30 rule. 70% of the time you're on schedule. Hand the ball off, it's second down and seven, second down and six, you've got your play, you know, you get this third down and one, you've got a conversion play, you're on schedule. 30% of the time you're off schedule, right? And for the Steelers, that formula was different. It was a 50-50 formula. And they made the majority of their big plays. When we talk about the NFL and we talk about explosives, each explosive that you get equates to about 2.6 points per game. And so they played a 50-50 type of style of football where it was, hey, 50% is schoolyard. It's, I'm going to see you get open, go do something special, and I'm going to find a way to get you the ball, and I'm going to avoid the pass rush, and I'm going to stiff arm a dude while I'm doing it, and then I'm going to throw the ball over the top. You know what? They can no longer operate under a 50-50 rule. They have got to become more like the rest of the NFL, and they've got to play more on schedule and less off schedule because they don't have the off-schedule players that they had in Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell.
Way to find a silver lining in this equation. However, the problem is...
However, you're not buying it?
Hell no. These eyeballs, and I'm not going to manage the disappointment like you did. Their next five games, they got three playoff teams, y'all, and the 49ers and Bengals. Hard to read the 49ers. Bengals only lost to the Seahawks by 1 point. They got a tough road ahead to even get this fixed. And then you talk about what happened with James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster. I hate to do this to him. Look, he went against Stephon Gilmore and that defense right there. That's a tough asking for the day one in the new season. But they went out there and they had their number. And here's the number that they really used. 617, area code 350-5222. That's Foxborough Limousine Services. My coach used to always say, boy, when you know you got some bums coming in here because we're going to take advantage of them, call the limo. They called the limo, and guess who jumped in it? Juju and James Conner. The limo showed up to Foxborough, and they got
him. Why are you leaving Ben out of that limo?
Ben bought it. See, this is Ben. Ben was in the PR campaign this entire offseason because he knew the only way that he can win was to buy into these guys to make AB look lesser. So he got pitted against AB to buy into his new guys, knowing damn well this ain't Le'Veon and this ain't AB. So when you play that PR campaign, I'm gonna let you down.
You think it was hard for him?
But I'm not gonna let him off the hook though, okay. Because I do believe that there's something in him that believes that he elevated AB and those guys.
Ooh, he was
wrong. So when quarterbacks, and sometimes quarterbacks can elevate players. However, you remember, you got to go all the way back to how this AB thing started. The guy who was next to Ben who said, like, hey, you're lucky because you played with a Hall of Fame quarterback and he made you and this and that. It is not so easy when you don't have guys around.
You think him falling on the sword in the podium there, you think that was legit? Or
no.
That was like eating, that was like eating a turd sandwich right there.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys. This is Jason Whitlock from Speak for Yourself. Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save enough money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for the future or visit pacificlife.com.
Bucky Brooks is back. We're joined now by Fox NFL analyst Michael Vick. Let's move to Miami, where Lamar Jackson shocked a lot of people yesterday with a monster performance in a 59-10 blowout of the lowly Dolphins. Jackson threw 5 touchdown passes, which is just 1 fewer than he had all of last season. After the game, Lamar had a message for all the doubters.
Not bad for a running back. But, yeah, offensive line did a great job. I barely had pressure. Receivers did a great job of getting open, catching the ball, scoring a touchdown. That's what it's all about, and that's what we did today.
All right, the question here is, did Lamar Jackson silence all of his critics? Should they start working on his Canton bust?
Yeah, work on that bust. That ain't going to look like him. You already know how they're going to mess that up. I know who's sitting next to me, so I'm going to be quick in my first go around. If you watch this guy play, even in college, you realize that even when he won the Heisman Trophy the year after, he looked better in the pocket despite not having the same success and accolade. So then you remove that and you get to the NFL level. And if you watched him carefully, this wasn't a guy who couldn't throw the football. This was a guy who wasn't comfortable throwing the football in his first year as the game didn't slow down for him because he was thrown to the wolves halfway through the season. So I walked into this offseason saying it all offseason along with Warren Sharp. This guy can play if the game slows down. Well, game one, evidence is in. The game has slowed down for him. So this is right on pace for what I expected for Lamar Jackson. No Hall of Fame candidacy yet, but the guy's going to be good.
Well, you keep playing like that, he'll definitely be on his way. But, I mean, like you said, year one and year two is totally different as far as feel. And obviously he's been working on his passing game, his accuracy throughout this offseason. And in talking to him and people around him, I know that's what he's been doing. But what was so cool about yesterday was the fact that their system, it wasn't a spread system. You know, it wasn't, you know, identical to what we see, you know, on a normal basis around the NFL. It was their system. It's not, you know, wide open, but it suited for Lamar. And it was very accurate and efficient. And the thing is, it's going to be very difficult to stop. They'll take this. He'll learn from this. He'll get more out of this than what he got even yesterday. So the thing for him is to just keep building on this. His coaching staff, obviously put a great game plan together to make him efficient, to make him look like he did yesterday. You know, I don't know where this goes for Lamar, and I don't think he has to continue to fight that fight. And if he's a passer, if he's just a runner, play your game, have fun, man. That's what you do. You don't have to worry about silencing the critics. Play your game, man. Be yourself, and that's what he did yesterday. That's why he was so successful.
I loved it because this is exactly what Baltimore talked about doing. Like, if you listen to Baltimore in the offseason, John Harbaugh had talked about revolutionizing football, meaning taking some things that people do in college and really building an offensive system that is for the new school playmaker at quarterback. Mm. All those guys that we see on Friday nights and Saturdays, they're more like Lamar than the other guys. So what the Baltimore Ravens are doing is, hey, rather than shun you like so many teams are doing, no, we want all of those guys.
Yeah.
And then when I looked at this offense, if you go back and look at how Lamar played at Louisville, I think people forget that he played for Bobby Petrino.
Yeah.
He played for a guy who is respected as a quarterback guy, a guy who has pelts on the wall and the like. I saw them run a lot of the stuff that he ran in Louisville. I will still say his biggest issue is when he has to throw the ball outside the numbers.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson is at his best when it's inside the numbers, in breaking routes, isolation routes, and pushing it down the field. If you allow him to do what he's always done successfully at Louisville, he is going to be successful.
All right, I'm going to be the wet blanket. No surprise.
Yeah, always.
They should shoot a deodorant commercial off that game last night. Because I've never seen a quarterback that dry in Miami.
Mm.
This dude.
I mean, yeah, he wasn't sweating.
No. That offensive line had a force field around him, and it's like, I'm the first person in this discussion to mention the Miami Dolphins. That was worse than an expansion team he faced last night or yesterday. That was a Dolphins team that was hot garbage, couldn't get close to the quarterback. This dude was sitting so dry in the pocket. If he hadn't done these things, we would be shocked. RG3 came in at the end of the game, 5 for 5 and a touchdown. Nobody the Dolphins tried to defend had any problems yesterday. I don't want to rain on Lamar Jackson because what he did yesterday is promising. It will help his confidence. Anytime you put up those kind of numbers and have that kind of success in the NFL, it should help you grow and evolve and give you that confidence. And just him feeling like, I can do this, is going to help him moving forward. But I want to see it against someone beyond this Miami Dolphins team that might be one of the worst rosters we've ever seen in the NFL.
Look, I don't want to sound cliche, but obviously you can only beat the opponent in front of you and who you're facing, right? But what I love about even beating Miami for Lamar Jackson is what it did for him between the ears. You got to remember the confidence building that is going on in Baltimore with him. Yeah. And this goes back to last year in terms of his mental makeup. And if you think about it, this guy was drafted to a team that had Joe Flacco. Y'all can laugh at Joe Flacco all you want, but he did win a Super Bowl for his team. You can laugh at Joe Flacco all you want. He was the money man on that squad, and that comes with great equity and power. And you're in the quarterback room with this guy, it is a very uncomfortable situation when you already have your critics and doubters saying you can't even play the position in the first place. So mentally, that weight is taken off him. And then he walks into week one, and everybody who's ever played in the league knows week one, for a new starter or a guy who has a lot to prove is a lot. And we saw it go two different ways yesterday. Baker Mayfield, 3 interceptions on a big week one after all that talk this offseason. Then we saw Dak Prescott go the other way with Lamar Jackson. My point is, let's not undermine or understate how mentally strong that guy is to take all of that and ball out.
No, I think it was a tremendous effort by him, and you certainly want to build on it. And look, we can talk about the Miami Dolphins and their team, but when I look, they got NFL on their jersey. They're NFL players, and he lit them up. And I don't know the line.
He was dry.
I don't think the line was 40-plus going into the game.
Listen, that looked like 7-on-7 out there.
It did.
You know why he was so dry? Because the Miami Dolphins didn't know what to expect. All offseason, you hear John Harbaugh saying, you know, Lamar's going to be run heavy. He's going to revolutionize the game or the position. They didn't know what to expect. So this may be, you know, above average defense, but, you know, they was thinking more run heavy. Lamar passed them out of the stadium.
That's a point I hadn't thought of, Mike.
So, I mean, it all remains to be seen. I'm with you, Jay. I cannot wait to see week two, what happens next week, week three, watch this whole progression and how this offense look as we move forward.
Mike, I'm going to tell you why that's a great point because, again, they did sell all offseason, like, you've never seen what we're going to do before.
Yeah.
And so I could imagine Brian Flores, first-year head coach, new staff.
Stop the run.
Hey, what are we going to – and Lamar runs it three times. That's I'm sure they came in with a game plan of, like, how are we going to shut Lamar down in the rushing game? How are we going to – you know they're just going to jam it down our throats. They got Mark Ingram. And then they came out and did this, and they caught him with their pants down.
Yeah.
Hats off to
them. All right.
Bucky Brooks is back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, what's cracking?
Yes, sir. Let's move to Cam Newton.
Oh.
Who didn't look great on the field in the loss of the Rams yesterday, but somehow looked even worse off the field. Man, we know Cam's known for his wild outfits, but yesterday he was rocking his short sleeve suit with whatever you want to call that on his head. I want to ask you guys, do you think Cam's fashion says anything about his game?
Yeah, I do.
Let me hear this.
I really do.
Man.
There's no focus, man. There's no
focus.
There's no...
To coordinate that? That takes focus.
No.
Oh.
He's not focused on the game. He's got some designer that coordinates his outfits. Marcellus, I'm just sorry.
I'm listening.
This does not play in a football locker room. Man. You cannot show up looking like Mary Poppins before a football game, and then in the post game after you get your butt beat, and you are the primary reason for you getting your butt beat, you can't then go to the post game, I'm going to put this Mary Poppins outfit back on and be taken seriously inside an NFL locker room. I love Cam. I spend every Sunday watching Cam Newton. I said it before the game. Damn, Cam makes it hard on me, man. I can't believe he's showing up to work like this. And then after, I'm going to Cam Newton Anonymous. I'm trying to kick my Cam habit. I'm done.
Can I Cam? 1-800, huh? Can I Cam?
I need a 10-step
You
program.
Are actually proving how focused he really is. One, if you know how a stylist works. You just give them the check and they do the rest. All you got to do is put it on. So you do know how that works, right?
You had
so
to put
much time
on.
Into this, right? I have no problem with that. Let me tell you why. One, a lot of your analysis is basically what you wouldn't wear or, more importantly, couldn't wear. Oh, you couldn't pull that off, right? So a lot of
he
this comes off.
He can't pull it off, Marcel.
Yeah, that dude pulled that off. Look, I ain't going to sit up here and be acting like I'm a fashionista. But I do know that fashion is just your expression. So if you can put it on and you like it, it's good with me. However, let's talk about what this really is about. Because you're trying to make this connect to his production.
Yeah.
And that's a damn shame. This is not a causation correlation. This is just a coincidence. Putting on your clothes is an independent act to how you play. Trust me, I knew a lot of guys who have fresh cleats on, clean, headbands, everything. Yeah. Sorry as hell. And then I knew some dudes that look dusty out there would knock your
head off. This is a lack of self-awareness.
No, this is a guy who knows what viability means. Production is one thing, viability is another thing. I give it to you like Dennis Rodman said. When he became a star and household name, Dennis Rodman said, y'all, I've been getting 18 rebounds a game forever, but nobody cared until I dyed my hair pink. Now, here's the thing. This guy is realizing that there is value beyond just going out there and producing. So why are you mad at this independent act that really doesn't connect to how he performed?
If he got 18 rebounds like Dennis Rodman, I wouldn't complain.
Oh, former NFL MVP, Ken?
Former's the key word.
Oh, you only wear it that year.
Well, I mean,
what?
It's just a lot. It's just a lot with everything. Ideally, you want your franchise quarterback to look presidential. I mean,
no, you don't.
Look,
yes, you do.
No, you don't.
He represents
Patrick Mahomes has got a bang, and he wearing sweatshirts every day. That ain't presidential. Patrick Mahomes,
the MVP.
Your guy,
the
MVP.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh God,
you compare him.
Got no argument there.
Comparing him to Patrick Mahomes.
I know his name.
It's just different. It's not necessarily. Matras, but look, he said this. He said this coming out. He wanted to be an icon. He wanted to be this. He wanted to be an entertainer, all that. He has done all of those things, and he's played well throughout most of his
career.
3 or 4 years ago.
However. What?
It's just not the look that I would go for.
Oh,
but look, I like.
The look? What you like? Let's hear this.
I'm just saying, like.
What?
Russell Westbrook has been able to pull it off and do the same thing. So I'm going to put Cam in that Russell
Westbrook
category.
That's another one. Westbrook, that's a good one.
That's where they are.
Y'all sound like the critics of Obama's tan
like
suit.
I dig it.
Y'all
I
sound mean, like, the, oh, my God.
It's not me.
Oh, my God, a tan suit. Can y'all open your minds up? They're not connected. The guy's fashion choice has nothing to do with how he's going to play. So if he went out there presidential and had the
no
same numbers.
No self-awareness, Marcellus. He looks like a clown.
I don't
And his teammates can see it. And they like, we got a clown for a quarterback.
But wait, Whitlock, when we on this show and you put on costume more than me and you put on a lot, hey, guess what? Your analysis is still the same, right? It ain't connected to your costume.
I'm not a quarterback. Oh, I'm not trying to lead 53 people. They're not paying me $30 million a year to be the leader.
Who's your agent? You ain't eating that much? I'm eating up here. Look at this suit. Damn it, I'm eating up
here. He got a different job.
I ain't getting 30.
Brady ain't showing up to work like that. And neither the other, Russell Wilson.
And don't believe Marcellus. Marcellus Norris. If we were in the locker room,
what?
And that guy stood up in the front of the room.
But they got jokes.
We got jokes for days.
Everybody gets jokes. Look, if you come too stale, too traditional, we got jokes. I show up in this Nipsey Hussle quarterback. Hey, on my head, too. But you know what? That's the locker room. We get to have that fodder. Why are you going to take that away?
Plays poor. And you look like a clown.
So you got a ball if you wear that suit.
All right, man. Let's move to another guy known for his off-field antics, Antonio Brown, who just ended up joining the Patriots after a crazy summer with the Raiders. Now ESPN's Chris Mortensen reports that Brown consulted with social media experts about how to force his way out of Oakland, which would help explain all the crazy stuff he posted this week. Want to ask you guys, are you buying that he orchestrated his move out of Oakland?
Hell no. I'm buying that Drew Rosenhaus is one of the most powerful agents and most powerful media manipulators in the history of the league. Mm. If there's ever a black athlete acting a buffoon publicly in anywhere, you can 9 times out of 10, Drew Rosenhaus is behind him. You go, boy. From T.O. to A.B. to damn near Chad Johnson, Drew Rosenhaus is always behind this. This is not orchestrated. This is a cover story for a guy that just blew $30 million in guarantee from Oakland. And if I'm the agent and I got to compete against other agents who are going to be like, did you just see what Rosenhaus did to Antonio Brown? The cover story, well, this was orchestrated. This is what we wanted to do. And meanwhile, them two white kid videographers down in Miami, they're exploiting AB as well. They got their hooks into, hate to say it, a useful idiot, and they're building a brand and a business off of AB along with Drew Rosenhaus.
Mm. You know, this is tough because I would like to think that he was savvy enough to pull it off and to orchestrate it or not, because when I look at the money, because we always say, follow the money.
Follow the money.
We follow the money in New England. He got $9 million just for signing his name.
Hello.
In Oakland, he didn't have any of that. It may have been guaranteed, but he didn't see any of that money. He wasn't going to see that money until the regular season started. So there's a part of me that does believe that maybe there was something to these clandestine conversations where they were talking behind back channels, and maybe Drew Rosenhaus orchestrated this. But in terms of the social media stuff, it's a lot. But look, man, AB loves social media like no other. I wouldn't put it past
him. He got some crack dealers dealing him social media crack. And they running around trying to sell it. Oh, this is orchestrated. This is planned. This is empowering. He's in control of his narrative. No, you are in control of AB and making a name and money off of him and making a name for yourself.
Look, let me say this. One, he did not orchestrate this from its origins. Let's just be real about that. No one on purpose gets frostbite. Like, so let's just get this out the way.
He looked like he was moving fine, dude.
Yeah, he looked good now. However, let's be real what he did. Once they crossed the line in his eyes, whatever, the first shot was fired, AB did navigate these waters perfectly. And he played Mayock and Gruden against themselves. And really, he played them against how inept they were in their positions and how inexperienced they were. Let's talk about this and break this down. What's the quote? Sometimes you got to play the role of a fool to fool the fool who thinks they are fooling you. Y'all digest that. AB realized that, whoa, I got a quarterback I don't really trust in. I got frostbite. They not fully supporting me. This helmet stuff, they starting to trip, and they now they finding me. Rosenhaus, fully armed, sits there and says, AB, there is a way. Don't forget, New England wanted you for a first-round draft pick in the trade in March. Let's check value. As a good agent will do, he will get on this phone without any record and say, what's out there for him? Robust marketplace. AB, I don't know how you can do it. I don't know how we're going to do it. But if you can find a way to be a free agent once again, you'll do it. This is how he played him. Mayock, tremendous experience in the game, but not tremendous experience as a GM. Gruden, all about coaching and being on TV, but not necessarily diving into the details of the CBA. This is how he played him. He said, I don't want to be here. And they finally said, you know what? This ain't going to work. We got 52 other men. Let them go. And guess what they didn't do? They should have suspended him for 4 games, punted the ball, and then realized we can't do anything with him.
get something in return. Mm-hmm. What did they get in return for AB and these antics? Zero. So that's how he got played. They played the Oakland Raiders to get AB out of there, land somewhere, and they got nothing in return. That's
what Here's what I would agree with.
What?
Gruden and Mayock don't know what the hell they doing. I agree with that. And I've been saying, everybody got the $100 million contract. Mm. It ain't going to work.
Mm.
But in terms of what Rosenhaus, who is the real puppet master behind AB's buffoonery.
Brilliant.
There's a pattern of Rosenhaus clients and this type of buffoonery. AB's brand has been damaged. It's going to be harder for him to get into the Hall of Fame unless this thing with New England goes very, very well. Michael Vick and Mark Slare at the back. Let's move to Dallas, where the Cowboys looked every bit the Super Bowl contender yesterday, dominating the Giants 35-17 in a game that was over by halftime.
Man.
Dallas was glad to have Ezekiel Elliott back, but it was actually Dak Prescott who took over the game, throwing for over 400 yards and four touchdowns. Afterward, Dak deflected questions about his pending contract.
I'm turning the page, and I'm worried about the Washington Redskins. I have people that handle that, and my focus is on this team, on the football game. And I think as long as I can keep continuing to do that, this team will do things like we did tonight. And as I said, that's been out of my focus for the past week, and I told you guys that.
All right, what's the takeaway here, Marcellus? Pay Dak, or the Cowboys are Super Bowl contenders?
Oh, you could have just stopped after those first two words.
Pay Dak.
Pay Dak. That dude went out there and was perfect. Picture perfect. I paint a perfect picture. This dude went out there and said, all this weight on my shoulders, my contract wasn't imminent before this performance. Oh, and now it is, huh, Jerry? Because Dak Prescott has those intangibles. And we've talked about this early Tom Brady in his younger years, early Ben Roethlisberger, when those guys were game managers at best. And Dak has been that and a little more, but we knew that Dak could take the next step and put himself in a different tier. So what I saw yesterday was a guy who went out there not only with the perfect rating, spreading the ball around to seven different receivers, 494 total yards, didn't have to play the whole game, and most importantly, let's be real, didn't even rev the engine. They didn't use Zeke up. And think about this. So Dak is out there with his new relationship and Kellen Moore cooking up some magic. And that's a critical relationship towards his success. And I'm glad Dak is in this position because he's about to get paid.
You know what? Just watching this game yesterday and knowing the immense amount of pressure that was on Dak. Like, every pass is worth a couple million, if you think about it. And I'm like,
yes.
Watching this post-game interview, he's not worried about the money. He's all about the team. You know, and I think back to my years when I was in contract years, and it was all about the team. It was all about how I play, and that's how you get the money. That if I'm a coach, that's the type of guy I want on my team. Mm. I know it's hard to find guys like that, but that's the type of quarterback I want, a guy who don't let the pressure get too big. So imagine moving forward, you know, throughout the next 4 or 5 years for him, it's going to be easy. I see great things for Dak Prescott because he got the right attitude, man. And then, like you said, got the – you know, Kellen Moore is the offensive coordinator now. John Kitna, quarterback coach. I mean, he got quarterback gurus all around. Jason Garrett. I mean, he's set up to be successful for the next, you know, 10, 12 years.
You give me two options. Yeah. A, pay Dak. B, Super Bowl contenders. I'm taking C, all the above.
Like everything.
Like, he's going to get paid. Either pay him now or pay him later. He's either going to get franchised or he's going to get paid. He's going to get a contract. This is, offensively, and defensively, they didn't play very well. Mm. But defensively, they're talented. This football team, man, you want to talk about how do you want us to beat you today? You want us to bludgeon you to death? Because we can do that up front with Zeke Elliott and with the offensive line we have. You want us to spread it around? Dak Prescott came out. That ball was on time, on target. And I'm talking about, bam, right now on every throw. It just was like, I watched and I kept rewinding going, are you kidding me? And I've always been a Dak fan. Yeah. I've been a Dak fan. I think the kid is outstanding, but they were great. They've gotten better. You want to talk about, we talked earlier about addition by subtraction. Go ahead, Cole Beasley. See you around sometime. Because I guarantee you, Randall Cobb, he can do everything you can and a little bit more with the fly sweep stuff, the go sweep stuff, and all the, hey, if we can run it out of the backfield, this is a talented team with Gallup on the other side of Amari Cooper. I mean, they were legit. They can beat you any way you want them to beat you.
Listen, I've been Dak's biggest financial skeptic. I've been saying, don't pay this dude a dollar more than $28, $29 million a year. Don't do it. I have to say, I was watching that game. I would love to say that I came away going Super Bowl contender, but more than any, and I did come away thinking that, but more than that, I was like, damn, they're going to have to pay Dak.
Hell yes.
They're going to have to, and the reason why, because now you can pay Dak, and he can walk in that locker room and be like, yeah, I'm working. Mm-hmm. I'm working. And there will be no one in that locker room questioning.
Yes.
Because what I saw, and I know it was the Giants, and I know the Giants are rebuilding, and it wasn't the greatest test. But when the dude stops back and plants that back foot and then releases the ball on time, on schedule, and it's a dime with some decent coverage, That play works, and that throwing motion and everything works against any defense and any team. The things I saw Dak do yesterday, even though it wasn't against the greatest competition, it wasn't guys just running wide open.
Yeah.
It wasn't the fact that Dak occasionally, he was getting tapped. He was throwing with some pressure and getting hit and still delivering the ball. And this is not a pot shot at Lamar Jackson, but it's just like, that's what I didn't see from Lamar was guys at his feet. I saw guys running wide. No, with Dak, I saw like, damn, he's blossomed in full into what Jerry has been saying he's going to be. He showed it week one, and yeah, you got to pay to do it.
Here's what I learned in week one. Whatever you think going into the weekend, bet against yourself. That's right. Whatever you're thinking, flip the money on the other side.
I was not thinking 400 yards. I wasn't thinking 400 yards and four touchdowns.
Well, you know what? We have to highlight that relationship between him and Kellen Moore. We have to. You know why? Because they're no longer predictable. Let's just say that after 1 week, I don't care what you think about this team, is it a Super Bowl team or not, they're not predictable. You can't line up as a defender and guess like you could in years past. Two, when you have a former teammate now calling your plays, think about that relationship,
about relationship,
how unique that is.
I can only
He's
imagine.
Been in the play room with right. you, looking at the screen with you, and you guys have this unspoken language. He can poke you. He can prod, he can know your strengths and weaknesses, and you can take them in way different than someone who's distant in that relationship. So now Kellen Moore is like, man, I know what you can do, and I know what you can't do. We'll work on those other things later, but this is your diet right now, and he's going to give them everything, set them up for
Mike, before you go, I'm going to tell you why you're so right about that in terms of you're talking about two young people close to the same age who haven't gotten paid yet from the NFL.
Mm.
Dak's making $2 million. Kellen Moore's probably making $1 million as the offensive coordinator. Kellen Moore is sitting out there. We're going to do this together. I'm going to be a head coach next year. I'm going to be the next Sean McVay. Mm. And Dak, you're going to get this franchise quarterback money.
How many times have you sat in a meeting room where you're talking to one of your teammates going, man, I hate this play. This is so dumb. Like, this is so coach speak because this stuff doesn't work. It's never the way it looks. Like, on the field, what they're saying, it never looks that way. I didn't even think about that. It's a great point,
man,
Marcellus.
Those guys probably sitting around at night talking, just, you know, guy talking concepts in football. It don't get no better than that. And then when you combine the personnel that's been put around Dak on the offense and defensive side of the ball. When I seen Randall Cobb catch a quick out last night, I wasn't even paying attention in the offseason. I should have been, but I didn't even know they had Randall Cobb. And when I seen them, I'm like, okay, these guys can be. I didn't want to put the cart before the horse, but be catapulted right to the Super Bowl.
Look, I'm going to go back on this Kellen Moore-Dak friendship because it reminds me of childhood that I don't want to make any assumptions about you, Mark, but I can guarantee you, Michael and Marcellus can remember, man, me and my brother, we used to lay on the floor in the apartment and talk about, man, when we get rich one day, we're going to hit the lottery. We're going to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
We could talk for hours about what we were going to do when we
game
made
plan it out.
And that's what Kellen Moore and Dak are doing. They know, like, both of us can see punching our lottery ticket. I'm going to be a head coach, and you're going to get this franchise quarterback money. They are so connected and motivated in a way, it's an unusual bond for two guys the same age to be in this
position. You're going to make me drop a tear up in here. Me and my OG, Henny Long Tiki, looking up at that popcorn ceiling, throwing that football
throwing the ball up.
No hitting me in the face. One day we going to make it. Girl, you're going to work with me, baby.
I remember that. Giants-Cowboys was one of the Super 6 NFL Sunday matchups this weekend. I hope everyone got a chance to play the new free game. If you didn't, make sure you download the Fox Sports Super 6 app and play Super 6 NFL Sunday for a chance to win $250,000 of Terry Bradshaw's money. Speaking of winners, did anyone win the $250,000 this weekend, Darnell?
Nah, well, like, no one won the $250,000 this weekend. Super 6 NFL Sunday had almost 13,000 entries across all 50 states. There were five winners of the guaranteed prize of $5,000. Each took home $1,000. Two of the winners were from Texas, and we had one from Indiana, my hometown, Michigan, and Arizona. Props to Texas for having the most entries as well. The question that stumped the most people was Falcons versus Vikings, where only 0.56% of users guessed the Vikings would beat the Falcons by such a wide margin.
Wow.
Huge congrats to our five winners.
All right, thanks, Darnell. Make sure you download the Fox Sports Super 6 app and start your weekend of football off right with the Thursday Night Football Super 6 this Thursday as well. Play for free for a chance to win $25,000 of Terry Bradshaw's money. Good luck. Michael Vick and Bucky Brooks are back. Let's move to Cleveland, where the Browns didn't come close to fulfilling all their offseason hype yesterday. Getting blown out at home by the Titans in sloppy fashion, Cleveland committed 18 penalties. Baker Mayfield threw three picks, and Odell Beckham Jr. looked like he didn't know what time it was, despite showing up to the game in a $350,000 watch. Afterwards, Titans tight end Delanie Walker didn't mince words about the Browns.
They were who we thought they were. If you want to crown them, crown them. They still got to play football. I'm going to tell you again, they were who we thought they were. If you want to crown them, crown them. That fueled us. That's why we went out there playing off of that. I mean, it's funny, man. It's so funny. Like, you can doubt someone and you ain't even played the game yet. But, I mean, that's how, what we do in this league. We hype teams.
Browns wanted the smoke. They got the smoke. Is it too early to write off the Browns?
Literally, it is too early. Look, I was on the 0-3 team that finished up winning 10 games and was a Super Bowl contender and got into the playoffs. So I've been on the 10-6 team that started off 0-3. So literally, yes. But in the spirit, hell no. Nah. They went back to a doo-doo Browns mindset. And it's a crazy thing for this team and this organization that fast to go back to what they used to be. We thought they turned the page in terms of bravado. But let's talk about it. One season opening win for this franchise in 20 years. Baker Mayfield had his worst loss in college or the pros. So this is devastating to a team that walked out there, thought that they were going to talk it and walk it. And what happened is the energy that they tried to muster this entire offseason, where you like, I profess it and then I'm going to go out there and do it. They actually brought that energy to this beatdown. They had 20 penalties, y'all. 2-18 and two were declined. 20 penalties. So that let me know, oh, they were ready for the noise. But what went off the rails was the fact that they couldn't execute, that they had lost sight of the fundamentals. And that's a bad place. At home, when you talk that talk, and then you come out there, your suit is laid out the night before the game, you're ready to just go into the stadium and act up. And that's the result? Oh, man, they're in trouble.
Listen, I know it's been a couple different offseason acquisitions for this team. You got Odell coming in and a couple other guys. But I don't know what happened with the offensive line because that was the reason Baker Mayfield couldn't get comfortable. You see, it was a safety. I mean, a ton of penalties, holding. I mean, it was just...
Feet looked a little happy to me, Mike.
Feet happy, and this was a time where the feet needed to be happy because he needed to escape to help, you know, get rid of some of that pressure. He didn't do that. And if you can't protect up front, I mean, we all know, you know, as football connoisseurs, you know, Odell Beckham and Landry and those guys, they become non-factors when you can't protect. And I know a guy got traded, lost a guy. I mean, one more week of this and, yeah, we can write him off.
No, I think what they learned a very valuable lesson. It reminded me of when you were there in Kansas City. 1998. We thought that we had an all-star squad. We had Chester McLaughlin and Derek Thomas and all that. And Derek Thomas stood up in the meeting room and said, offense, if you give us 17 points, I guarantee you I'll get 22 sacks. And what happens is when you get hit in the mouth the first time, you lose all that invincibility. It's like Mike Tyson scrambling for his mouthpiece versus Buster Douglas. So now the invincibility off. We will see what they're made of because they have to understand that it's a learning process. You have to learn how to be winners. Freddie Kitchens has to learn how to be a head coach. Baker Mayfield has to learn how to react to now that defenses are on his game. So there's a lot of learning that has to take place. They still can get there, but it's going to be a lot harder than they initially forecast.
The Freddie Kitchens elevation confused me from day one. How can Greg Williams lead you to all those victories at the end of the season? And then, oh, Baker's good friends with Freddie Kitchens, and so let's make Freddie the head coach. It didn't add up to me. Freddie Kitchens is inexperienced, first-time head coach, and you've given him the keys to what you believe is a Cadillac. It didn't add up. That team looked unprepared emotionally, mentally, and just got, just like Bucky said, got knocked in the mouth. And it was Curtins, the big bully that had run its mouth all offseason. I do think, though, I'm not going to write them off just yet. I've seen teams look really bad early in the season and recover. They have too much good personnel. What could throw them off, though, another bad loss, and you could lose Odell mentally.
Look, they used the Cleveland Browns against the Cleveland Browns. Came out in a lot of zone. Knew that Baker Mayfield was going to try to do too much and used all that against him. Kind of like in jiu-jitsu, use your force against you and make you weak in those moments. I saw that happen. This Tennessee team, remember last year, beat up New England, beat up Dallas. Like, don't sneeze on this team. But what I learned from sports is crazy, and this is why I had issue when you were talking about Cam Newton and what you wear. It doesn't matter what you say. You could be humble and show humility, or you could talk it. It doesn't matter what you wear. You can look flashy. You can look presidential.
You got to be ready.
When that ball is kicked off.
It's on.
It's on or it's off. And that's just it. And you got 60 to 80 opportunities to do right. But everything else becomes disconnected to this production and to this opportunity. And it's just funny that I think them and Pittsburgh walked into these games thinking, oh, baby's gone and we don't have any distractions. We good. And they walked in. Oh, we talked in. Everybody giving us attention. We're good. Until you show up in that moment of truth, you're not good.
This is the time when the real egos have to come out, you know, because, look, you got smacked in the mouth, and sometimes this could be a good thing. You learn from it, you pick yourself up, and then you find a way to get on the road. Wow. So I'm interested to see what type of character come out and how much continuity they really have on this team.
Uncle Jimmy's here. Help us talk about Bill Belichick. Marcellus said some incredible things today. I know he's the big dummy of the
day.
Drop Jim.
Yeah. Hey. Huh. And for that reason, the big dummy of the day, go to the person that allegedly locked themselves out of Twitter. Oh. It's a fine line between getting locked out and getting kicked out. But I guess your attorney said they had to let you back in, so.
Dang.
Congratulations.
Yeah. You lost your fix for a few hours.
I did something stupid.
It got quiet for a little bit in the Twitter world.
No, I locked my own self out. I tried to lie about my birthday.
You know when you're on that burner account like KD? Oh, Whitlock's a great guy.
Let's move to the Patriots who dominated the Steelers last night.
That's what happened.
New England now heads to Miami where Fox Bet has them as a 17.5-point favorite over the lowly Dolphins. Marcellus, are the Patriots a lock to get back to the Super Bowl?
No. Lock? No. As we say in the locker room, they got squad. That means it's going to be hard to defend this team. They are loaded where you need to be loaded in today's NFL, at the wide receiver position and in the secondary. So they're passing.
They're loaded at the quarterback position, Marcellus.
Oh, of course. That. And you know that the top tier one quarterbacks were 5-1 this weekend, including the only loss was Ben Roethlisberger to Tom Brady. So he couldn't
tier
be
6-0. No. Uncle Jimmy.
What?
Patriots a lock.
Why I got to always be the bad guy? First of all, I'm going to tell y'all this. Bill Belichick will sign anybody. Yeah. All right, now, I could be wrong, but make me be the bad guy. But didn't Aaron Hernandez kill two people coming out of college and still get drafted?
Not out of college.
Allegedly. That's allegedly.
Yeah, and allegedly.
Allegedly.
Okay.
Bill didn't know anything about that.
Allegedly, did Bill Belichick sign somebody named LeGarrius Blount? coming off of a suspension for smoking a blunt?
Yeah, that's true.
And beating up his...
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Was Bill Belichick not sitting outside the rehab center each time Josh Gordon got released? Hey, man, it ain't no shame to the man's game.
That's true.
Hey, you call him Michael Corleone from The Godfather.
Yeah, I did.
If you ask me, man, that's A.C. Cowens. That's my sahab. Now, remember back in the day you had what was called your road dog?
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's your ride or die guy. Hey, look it up in the dictionary.
Yeah, that's
you're going to see a picture of Bill Belichick.
Ride or die.
You know, hey, let me tell you this, though, on the for real, Tom Brady better be careful. Hey, Gazelle done already signed up for AB to be her partner on Dancing with the Stars. Y'all know, but look here, man, on the for real.
I will say this. Tom inviting AB to live with him, that's a little suspect.
You know how big that house is? He gonna be living next block, not next door.
Like, but wait. Hold up. But y'all know what AB gonna do.
What are you gonna do?
Once again, I got to be the bad guy here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because y'all know what AB gonna do. AB done sit up here, he done acted a zip damn dummy. He done went down in Pittsburgh and acted like he was in an episode of Django. he just sitting up talking about Mike Tomlin like a dog. Okay, but now he's in New England, he's gonna be singing a whole different tune. He's gonna be acting like he the head servant at the Candyland Ranch. Every word out of his mouth gonna be, yes, sir, Mr. Bill.
Oh,
we's feeling good today, Mr. Bill.
That's cold.
Oh, no, is we sick today, Mr. Bill?
No,
is our feet feeling better today, Mr. Bill?
Our feet.
Ooh, eyes like... gonna cut a great touchdown for you today, Mr. Bill. Yeah, you can't give Tomlin nothing, but boy, Mr. Bill.
Why are you flipping on him like that?
You know what he gonna do. You know how your people act.
He played Gruden. He played Mayock, too.
All right, then.
I kind of like that, though.
Man, that's cold.
Oh, he gonna be on his best behavior for Belichick.
Why?
You're damn right.
You know he gonna be on his best behavior.
Acted a fool on Tom.
He really did. Yeah. Whoa, 120.
Yeah, look, I got my approval rating for Bill Belichick.
What?
Put another clown suit on me and my bank account. he did that at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he's done it again. I've got him at record levels at everywhere. 30,
what do you mean
30,
record
30,
levels? 30, that's high.
120. Goat of all goats. I'm done betting against the Patriots. That's the third time I've said it.
Have you said that? I didn't even know we could go that high, because I would go higher. I stayed within reason. I gave him an 84. Talent does trump all, and I love them for that. That's good character right there. But he's a goat for me. One.
All right, the internet agrees with us. They all have him at goat status as well. AB, yes, sir, Mr. Bill.